Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 878. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is world-famous book author Eric Nelson. How are you doing, good sir?
I'm looking around my house, and I'm not seeing anybody who's world-famous, but thank you. I appreciate that. I'm doing okay, man.
I am doing fairly well, still digging out at the office from a fresh vacation. And, we were talking a little bit about it beforehand here, said vacation, and, you asked if Stone Cold Steve Austin still had his, Broken Skull Ranch IPA out there. And, yes, he does. One of my, soon-to-be in-laws is so old that when he saw the can, he thought it was Steve Austin, the $6 million man, and not Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that is why he bought it. It is not because of, of our wrestling hero, Steve Austin. I had a good hoot at this mix-up.
Majors, IPAgers. The $6 million beer.
Oh.
It's like an NFT, except for it's worth nothing.
Yeah. I mean, does someone have that? I feel like that should be the name of a beer, this $6 million beer. Like,
sure. They should take all of these, like, late 70s and early 80s sitcoms and turn them into beers. Like, that should be a gimmick. So, I mean, the greatest American, can't think of a good, the greatest American lager, I don't know. I mean, you know, rival stuff for like Charlie's IP Angels. What else could you do? Hard, there's that show called Hard to Have a Stretch. It starts with an H, but Hard to Have a Vitamin.
Nah, I mean, hey, we're just brainstorming right now. This is early stages. We can iron this out later. And
yeah. Of course, Magnum the IPA.
Speaking of stupid and ostensibly the reason we're usually here, unless you still have more beer talk.
Let me just ask you a question. Kevin DeFrango, do you have a hot tub?
No.
Okay, let me ask you a follow-up question. If you were to get a hot tub, would you put it in your driveway? Is there a chance, thinking about the footprint of your home, is there any chance you would ever put it in?
There is approximately a 0% chance that that ever happens.
Well,
I am not.
Oh my god, next door is the best. next door is white trash social media for white trash that's not Twitter white trash. It's like, I got an email, but I was checking my email before I hopped on, and the subject line was, is it illegal to put a hot tub in my driveway? And then the rest of it, don't really have a backyard, .. That you don't really have a place for a hot tub, you think that?
I mean, that would be quite a show if you decided to put it out on your driveway. I mean, many a person, the wife and I lived without any type of garage for entirely too long ago. Yeah, I'm just going to use this as a storage unit too, like 90% of everyone. Yeah. That is specifically for cars so that my ass does not need to go out in that cold weather.
I don't understand. I see that in our neighborhood all the time, and I get, but I absolutely don't get how you can cram your garage with so much shit. Like, even if you have kids, like, how do you have so much shit that you have to get? You said to yourself, well, 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms and basement storage, and even like the ladder that I pulled out of the attic, it's not enough for all the things we have. Why do quickly load our garage from top to bottom, side to side, and front to back, so that we can't park thousands of dollars of cars there, so that we have to walk outside in cold-ass weather, snow, I just park in the driveway or the street. That's, oh, can't park in the driveway because it's all the hot stuff there.
Yep, I could definitely see someone just like, well, whatever, I don't use it for my car anyway. It's just hot tub time machine front yard.
Yeah.
Good God.
Put a liner in the back of your helmet, fill it full of water, put a wood burning stove in it, now you got a hot tub. Old creep. It's kind of, here's a two for one. So, I've had a chance to talk to really anybody since I went to the National Museum Hall of Fame, the Dan Gable Museum up in Waterloo.
I forgot that I saw your picture with Mr. Keister.
Oh, yeah. So, I was that, though. So, this week, as we're recording this is day 8 out of everything, or 7. Day 7 out of, no, 8 out of 11. Which is great for people watching. Deep fried butter. Great for dodging scooter people. But my old college, Buena Vista University, spelled like Buena, should be pronounced like Buena, but we're all white trash, so we call it Buena Vista. One of the spots at the Iowa State Fair, as the colleges around here do, just for, you know, it's alumni coming. Recruits come to this. And I was looking at some picture. There was a pimp and his now wife, and he was like, how old would that have been? So he would have graduated in like 2005, 2006, 2005. So 18 years ago, this dude just walked into my dorm room, and it's, you know, the rest is history. Anyway, so they take a picture of themselves in front of the big yellow wall, or school color, yellow and blue. And the yellow wall where everybody had written their name and their graduating year. And I was just looking through them real quick. I'm like, who do I recognize? Oh, I see Jen and Tanya, and I see Matt, and I see Ryan. And then I looked at the top. Guy who signed his name, whatever his name is, HOF 1996. And I'm like, this is from college? Like, if I were to go to a wrestling club, or if I were to go to the Hall of Fame induction, and somebody had just gotten inducted or had been inducted recently, like, you know, Jim Ross, Hall of Fame, Chris Stratus, Hall of Fame, 22, whatever. Like, that makes sense.
No.
Joe Shithead, like, name HOF 96, like, who cares? The least important Hall of Fame in the world. Yet you felt compelled to sign your name with HOF the year after for college, give you a break. What do you have, the Hall of Fame? Cafeteria as possible, like what did you earn this for? God. Who's got that? Who's got that much more syndrome? That Bruce Springsteen song is just running through their head constantly, thinking about how college is the best 4 years of their life. They struck one guy out with a knuckleball.
Oh, the old, because what's his, Al Bundy was high school even, like, it was not even college.
If it were Al Bundy, our college, 15 years after we graduated, we went back up there and played a gig, and the venue where we for some strange reason, had about a 2 foot tall, 2 inch wide, foot deep inflatable owl. So we took it because we wanted it.
Yeah.
And dug an owl buddy. I don't know why. We carried that thing from gig to gig for a while, as long as it held up. It was owl buddy.
Oh man, well, that's a good one.
I can regale you Hall of Fame stories from my perspective, though, if you wish.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Right, so, yeah, Waterloo, Iowa, or as Conrad Thompson called it many times, the middle of nowhere. So, Conrad, the guy who showed up 5 minutes before his induction speech and then disappeared at least 5 minutes later after he was done.
I mean, doesn't he live in Alabama?
Yeah.
Who the fuck goes there?
So, me and Matt Stevens are standing outside of the, this is Matt, Matthew, where did I call him? Matt, the WWF fanatic. You know, I was Matt, where did I call him? Matthew W. fanatic. Anyway, we were standing outside the hotel, and we were waiting to go across the street to the convention center for something. just a formality, but that's my gripe, that's my story. I'll hold it loosely because I know some, plenty of other people got time with them. I will just say that where I was sitting, he wasn't there for any of the rest of the banquet except for 5 minutes before he was inducted, and he took off 5 minutes after. Having said that, can I tell you some people who are fucking cool?
Sure.
Haku. Show on Friday night, and I stuck my hand out and I talked to him. My name's Eric, and I said, it is such a pleasure to meet you. When I was 9 years old, I used to practice my super kicks because I watched you do them on TV. And he laughed, and I was like, oh, what was your name? God, Haku just asked me my name. Like, I could have left. That's all I needed. I had back in 2016, I went to a house show, and Devon Dudley was a producer, and he was sitting like at some sort of elevated, raised up area, kind of like at the level of the first row of the 100 section. And I was just kind of wandering around. I was sitting on the floor, and I saw him. I held up my phone to take a selfie with him in the background. And I yelled, "Devon!" And he looked up and he smiled and waved in the background of my picture. So, like a dude, as I go up to him at the Hall of Fame at his booth, and I go, "Hey, I don't know if you remember the last time." Very important to me, and I showed him, oh, where was that? He was like, oh, I was, where was that? Good boy, oh, cool, man, nice to meet you. You know, we have a little story like that. Shared, it's always cool when somebody reciprocates a little bit. What else happened? Wes Thatcher, Heartland Nation, commentator from everywhere, used to commentate the Smoky Mountain. We all know Brett Thatcher. He was there. He was 82 years old. He doesn't look more active than he is. The guy is thriving. Ran into him in the elevator four times in the hotel over the weekend to the point where we started joking about it. He was like, oh, I'm charging admission for this thing. So bad, and there was one point where we were going to talk to him. We were at the music room, and it was me and Dan, and we wanted to say something to him, and as we were getting ready to go talk to Les Thatcher and James Beard, the old referee from Dallas, we're there, and some of his kid walks over with him, and I say kid, but he's like 60 plus, and he walks over with him and asks, like, hey, you both know my dad, can you tell me a story about my dad before they talk? And we to listen to the veterans and just be a fly on the wall and keep dropping this stories. So Dan and I are still listening. And I shut the camera off, just thanks. And then I swear to God, Gordon Sully's kid takes about 1.5 steps to the right, turns his back to us, and physically cuts us off from any conversation we could possibly have with Les Thatcher and James Beard in that moment. And we're like, we look at each other and we're like, for 6 years and called me by name, and we have a 15-minute conversation about he wrote books and I'm writing books. He teaches school and I teach school and all this stuff. So it's like there's so much good that comes out of this that it's totally outweighed anything negative that could possibly happen. And I don't know, I'll do after the fact, and I'll keep pitching this music. I realize the next event is not for another 11 months at this point, but if anybody can take the time and spend the money, which is very minimal, actually, like unless you have to travel for this, spend the money on travel, like the hotel rooms are not expensive. The all access are not expensive. I get that there's a gigantic difference between the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Cleveland Museum, and the Trago Spence Hall of Fame. And WrestleMania, I get it, there's a big difference, but I was just looking at the WrestleMania pre-sale tickets, and you can get wardrobe ringside for $10,000. You could also get all-access pass to the Hall of Fame for $110. And all these old-timers, veterans, doo-doos, Colt Cabana shows up every year, he's always funny. Newer timers, I mean, in the past 5 years, I've had Edge, 10 years ago, but since then he's been back with the Phoenix, Stratus was there, JBL shows up, so you've got like old, middle, and new. Like, I told Dan, I recorded with Dan, Dan and I drove an hour south to the down to Cedar Rapids, where the closest big airport is. We picked up Stan Hansen and Ricochet and drove them up to the museum in Waterloo. We got to spend an hour in a car with Stan Hansen and Ricochet. Like, you don't get that kind of, you don't get that, like, $10,000 on a promo seat at WrestleMania. So I'm just saying, it's not expensive, doable, except it is in the middle of nowhere. Hang out with me and Dan and Matt. Get an ice cream shape made out of a giant ass piece of pie at the farmer's market with us. Have some cheap beer with us and Haku and JBL and Jerry Briscoe. Jerry Briscoe brought Dan over to JBL and said, "Hey John, this is the guy I wanted you to play. This is what I'm talking about." Economics professor can't beat me. I'm just along for the ride, but anyway. That's my pitch. It was fun. I had a great time. Got to meet some old heroes. Did not get chased off an elevator by John Nord with a sword, which apparently he did one year. John Nord was there this year. I guess he was there in years past, but he had his sword. He had his, like, reserve with him.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Somebody off the elevator. Who knows what stories you'll have to tell if you go to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. I kind of had forgotten to put that on the... It was an actual stop that I was going to make at some juncture, and then stopped becoming a stop somewhere along the line. And like you said, like, you guys have been going for... Well, I mean, if you took 6 years off, then I know I've been generally aware of it for quite some time at this point.
So I did that. The first one I went to was quite a while ago. The first one I did when it was at a small town called Newton, Iowa, which is about 30 minutes east of Des Moines. There's nothing happening in 3 days. For a stretch there, if you bought a washer and dryer, you could say you probably made it to Newton, Iowa. They started down there in 99 and then moved up to Waterloo in either 07 or 08. But, so one of those years, the first time I went was in New, and it was a year like 2000 or 2001, I can't remember. It was a year, Vern Gagne was there, and I know that for a fact because I shook his hand. He had a hell of a grip back then. And my mom was, and so she got to meet him too. And then I took a couple years off because I wasn't close. I was way up in Storm Lake, which is the opposite corner of the state. And then I think when I started going to grad school in 04 or 07, I don't know. Long story short, I met 13 times.
I mean, 2000 is well before I was aware of its existence, I will say that.
Minus the gas. I mean, I had an 11-year stretch where I went every year. And then Dan counted, he's gone in like 7 years now. Just because it's kind of worth it. Like, this is, the timing's right, and everything else lines up. It's just good. So it's fun. Yeah, so Thursday, if you get an all access pass and you are able to go on a Thursday, which I couldn't go this year because of a work trip, Dan spends that night at the lunches that are in town. They'll go to like a trivia thing at the bar. I went 1 year, and Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, and Dave Meltzer were all hanging out at the Screaming Eagle with me and Dan and Matt. And I think Travis, who else has been that year? There was a year where Matt, Travis Bryant, Todd Martin from The Torch, Steve Williams, and Derek Gale.
That's quite a crew you got going on there.
And Bruce Porter, Warlock, and Dave Meltzer. And we're just going to hang out with them. No big deal. So, again, everybody bumped into and probably walked away.
I maybe need to readjust, but I do think, what'd you say, it was a couple of weeks ago?
So it's I won't tell you why. Lest I ruin my stat. goes to the legendary Eric Nelson, who used to actually help out and promote the hell out of the thing. They are looking at possibly moving it earlier. I think they actually put a post out where it's going to be like whatever July 8th-ish weekend is. So I think it's like third weekend of July. Pretty sure they're on Facebook with George Tremble's New Fez Hall of Fame. So it's very searchable.
Sure this coming week is the third. I think Stunt Granny follows it. I don't think I follow it.
Whatever Comic-Con is not, so if you look at the last 2 weekends in July, one is Comic-Con, one is Hall of Fame. And all I can say, I'm trying to be coy or weird, but all I can say is that the coordinators of the Hall of Fame are trying to schedule the Hall of Fame in Waterloo. To be honest, there are a lot of wrestlers at Comic-Con. So he's kind of like, why the hell would I do that? Like, they could be there. Like, so why not schedule an AMS so they can be at both? So that's kind of
You can always go for the, I hope people have, you know, there's enough capacity for both kind of situations. And see if you can actually benefit, because then maybe people will come if there's multiple things to do.
Yeah, so action figures, merch, shirts, totally do. I'm so here. Start this portion of my story by saying, have I ever told you that I have actually texted him? I have texted him and I emailed his wife asking. they do conventions every weekend. I feel like they love this stuff, and I'm sure the comics are for it. But like every time you go on Facebook and see Hack Legend Dynamics profile, he and his wife are on a plane off to the next convention. And first class all the time. So they didn't have a ton of miles to travel, and treated real well. And they should get it while they can. They deserve it. And shit, go 48 weeks on the convention and take vacation.
I was trying to remember. Is he well enough to be doing those these days?
He is now, yeah.
Okay.
He appears, based on just what I see on social media, appears to be a really good health road. I mean, this is the one that guy off his property. He had a gun or not, but, you know, like somebody was, there's some robber on his property, and they all act like ran off.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite an evening to have.
That was just as much the middle of nowhere as Waterloo Island.
I do think that even if they bump that up a week, unfortunately the vacations with families tend to fall within that time frame. And that ends up, I think that is probably the biggest deterrent, unfortunately for me. Cause yeah, ain't no one planning a vacation, the first weekend of April. Because even the spring break stuff is done by that time frame.
Yeah, you know, like, I always say, Grant, sometimes you shouldn't have a 5-pound bag so much. Oh, I was thinking about another time. He had to display at the home in Waterloo, and I guess he's done it a few years. I don't know if he's going to do it anymore. His name is Chris Owen. He's actually from a small town here, about an hour away from me, called Marshalltown, Iowa. He lives in Illinois now, and he story yet. But that's cool.
Nope.
She's originally from an hour away from here. But so we bring all this Andre the Giant memorabilia up to Waterloo every year. We actually just went to Andre's old ranch, and that would be North Carolina, and there's a museum in town that they're starting to have like an Andre the Giant fest. And he went and I saw pictures of the event, and I remember distinctly Ted DiBiase was there, and I know there were a couple of other legends, I can't remember who, but then also like Big John's cousin was there, Andre's daughter was there, and I guess Chris picked up some more memorabilia. So I am kind of hoping that he shows back up in Waterloo next year with some new stuff. Not that the old stuff wasn't cool for the nerds, but like, kind of casually look at, I don't know how long I'm going to do this. And I'm like, dude, if you got more stuff, you can get next year. So, like, he just posted on Facebook before we started recording, so I don't know this for sure. But he's dropping news and he might have shot that with Andre's old suit. Like the suit, especially the suit jacket that he wore at like on Piper's pin when he ripped the cross off the whole president's back. And then when he like choked out Hogan on Saturday Night's Main Event. And then like the press conference and stuff. I'm like, bring that. Because I want to be in red and back and all sweet when we're all together.
Yeah, that's got to be one gigantic jacket.
Gosh. He had a big, like, life-size program along the way. I'll just let it explode. I had Dan take a picture of me standing next to him. Like, I don't know. I find his name will look eye to heart to Andre the Giant. I think that there's somebody as massive as that dude as ridiculous. But like you said, story of Andre is incredibly accessible. It's just weird to think about that.
Iowa loves their wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah. WWE Most Wanted Treasures and like the Ben Brown, the archivist.
Yes. No.
See, now I'm going to be hot shit. I'm going to go back and don't treat you like dirt anymore. You let me wipe Baron Von Ashton's grass like I asked you last year. And you let me make out with Mark Luke White. Or don't.
Episode was wild. That was the crowning jewel that happened like an hour and 10 minutes into like the hour and a half mark or something like that.
What I saw was probably the last 5 minutes of it. So I did a quick search and I found a video that was the last 5 minutes. What I did not see was apparently a bucket of red stuff dumped on everybody.
Yep, that happened.
So I didn't see any sort of blood stimulation that was supposed to tame the effect of having blood like viscous substance.
I mean, it made no sense why you would just throw fake blood on someone.
I mean, that's a you're right. I'll take this as me saying that you're not right. But this would be what I want to do. Last 25 years, fake blood gets dumped on people who are almost dumped on people.
Oh, yeah. That is true.
You know what it looks like? I you know, it was just shipping into an undercommon. Like a combination of a shitty hardcore match from TNA circa 2009 and the good housekeeping match Jeff Jarrett had in China at No Mercy 99, where like they hired a board and a house plan and all this stuff, and then so that China can have a guitar, which apparently enough of the population of the U.S. has a guitar in their home, because they're really a household item, and she got the pin and won the belt. It was like that gimmick before she added, like, multiplied by TNA from 2008 or 9.
yeah, that was...
Divided by all the whole from how in Orlando.
Oh my god, I forgot that he was down at that bar.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Cheerleader Melissa, Homicide.
Yeah.
Homicide. We talked to Melissa. Oh yeah, man. I'm like, if you want to approach this right, I'm not going to be able to go back to Iowa City in anything but a body bag.
Well, I am stalking her. Like that was my inner monologue. Shimmer?
Was it Shimmer? I feel like something else. I feel like Shimmer was great. Do you think Jason Dedrick and he was trying to get a woman to try to be Shimmer? And we were talking about it with the bullet. And so we were literally on the site. We talked to Melissa about some emails that we had already exchanged from the Rip Wrestling Company. And I don't quite know because I don't think I've lost all my weight yet, so I'm going to try to
No, you. I have a photo of you from that time. You definitely had not lost the weight at that juncture. Plus, I can still remember those hot dogs that we had in the cart two nights, because we had them coming back from that night. Was the first night that we had them that had the potato French fries on them.
Yes, they had corn.
Yeah.
We should have ketchup mustard, mayonnaise, possibly the relish before asking for and the shoestring, like French fries or something. As long as they had probably
put,
like, celery salt and
fennel
on it.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the Torch archives, the full description of that, because I believe I talked about that at some point in the mere infancy of Stunt Granny.
Yeah. marry this one to the pod once more. I gave him $600.
Yes, yes, you did.
Hey, wait. Detroit was like a good bank for you. We want to.
Boy. Yeah, because I think, what, Saban was there, I think? And Christopher Daniels, if I'm not mistaken.
Dude, when the hell did I get Captain Evers from the Torch Board? He was there with us then. I think I was a blast.
I don't know. He asked to write for StuntGrant. I'm like, here's the password for you. Like, here's the name and login for you. He never used it. Yeah. 100% wrong tree territory. I am still paying enough to keep this thing rolling.
Oh, man. Well, we're still brewing beer. We just need to figure out all the
names of beers
and do a little better than
Magnum IPA. That's one of those things that I'm like, I am, like, there are so many people crushing, I'm like, I'm out. Like, that brewing equipment has sat in my basement since we moved to this house. Like, I might have brewed one beer, like, right when we first moved here. But, yeah, the last 5 years is just... She's like, oh, just do something small. And I'm like, when am I supposed to... fuck am I supposed to do this? Well, I mean, that's how much was in that Texas Chainsaw Massacre match to somewhat get back to how we got completely off the rails again. And I couldn't believe, like, I mean, I made a joke about it on Twitter there. Tony Khan has paid for Pantera's walk. He paid for the Jungle Boy music. The Kansas song that the Young Bucks come out to. Like, that man is not afraid of some music royalty fees. Oh, what's the dumbass one that John Moxley has? Wild Thing.
Oh, God. I'm like, you're acting.
Yeah, that was one of those ones I figured if I even asked a rhetorical question, my brain would finally remember what the fuck it was. And it did, so the trick worked. But yeah, and then, I mean, they have a lit... I have no problems with having a tie-in. You know, I'm honestly surprised that it doesn't happen more frequently in the WWE. But oh my God, that Leatherface was so fucking awful.
Yeah.
And the chainsaw wasn't even gimmicked like any reputable haunted house in the Columbus area. Like, those ones at least produce smoke. Like, they don't have a chain or anything. Like, I know that it's never going to harm me. Like, they can chase me all they want, but I know that they're literally not there to cut me up. Yeah.
That's what I heard when I was watching the clip. That chainsaw is actually running through the sound system of the arena that they're in. But I'm with you, like, I think the product from the partnership there.
Yeah. Yeah, execution was just poor.
Wow.
Oh, plus Jeff, I still can't believe Jeff Jarrett is kicking around. Like the fact that there are people that I see on the Stunt Granny Twitter that enjoy this fucking nonsense, just like I'm like, maybe I need to purge some people from this account. Is all I sit there and think to myself. Yeah, that is the other part that is just head-scratching. Not that Jeff Hardy necessarily needed the win himself.
No.
Like you said, like it put someone else in that position makes more sense to have a win over Jeff Hardy.
It's
still in his 50s, and thank God, at least not wrestling in his 60s so far. Like, that's one where I don't even remember. You said that there was a belt on the line. I'm like, I kind of forgot about that part, quite frankly. The whole show was so fucking bizarre. I'm like, the fuck is... And I'm scrolling through... Oh, it was just the Texas Chainsaw Massacre deathmatch belt, I guess?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I assume
Well, you know what, though? With AEW, you never know. Because I believe last year's Owen Hart Memorial Cup winner defended their championship after the tournament. Or at least they definitely came out to the ring with him. I don't remember that happening this year, but last year that did. And the FTW championship is still front and center, even though it is not, quote-unquote, a sanctioned championship. It's just like, well, then why are you generating... They still have so many goddamn championships. That's the other thing about this situation. Like, whatever, have the tie-in, have Leatherface come running out. Like, there doesn't need to be a belt at stake here. Even one that's never going to show up again. Just have it be a match. It's fine. It's one of those guys, like, there are too many championships floating around here. Because not only that, ROH stuff is defended still more regularly than it should be. Gosh. Yeah. Oh, and the fact that that shit doesn't get corrected drives me up a wall. I'm like, I can correct this on the website that I run, you know, with my money. Like, you're getting paid for this? Do you think you could fix it, guys? Like, what? Why is this a hard task?
I don't know what you guys are actually up to. Like, what's happening in their career, and if this would be a good or bad spot. But, intended presentation of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match was not super R-rated. And given that, what a man. If the dude is like, I don't even have to act like a fucking goofball, but you know, the look is like a horror
gimmick. Yeah.
Very evil.
Yes. I believe he is still on the shelf. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think that is the situation. Just because, yeah, I've kind of... The gimmick is really fun, but it's also kind of limited. Yeah. Oh boy. Attempts. I mean, it's a text. Like, is it really that? It's not a new technology anymore. Yeah, like the when we were down in Orlando and we did not text each other, we had to you know use phones and shit.
Just sprayed with allergy medicine, like his blow names, and he's trying to sniff it, or like, I don't know, Jay-Z, but I'm always like, special candidate.
No.
The dude can't make a face that looks intimidating at all. Like, he seriously looks like he's trying to get over that.
Yeah, he's a guy that has just gotten a little old for me. I mean, the fact is that he's not that actually old is kind of hilarious still. Where he's probably, like, maybe early 30s at this point. And I'm like, oh my god, like, I feel like I've been watching you on ROH as the champion, and it's still the faux Macho Man Savage gimmick. It's like, guys, like, I don't know about this. Okay. Well, I'm actually interested enough to look this one up and let
I just feel like he was like super young and all ages, and he's just like a
career. 38. Yeah, he is bearing down on the 40s. Oh yeah, that is not a great look as far as photos go. I mean, well, it is kind of a great look. He looks kind of ripped in that photo, so not that I ever think he looks out of shape, but I also don't think that he's going to the like, let's say, Finn Balor just I have 12 abs kind of school of working out.
Yeah. He looks like an athlete, though, but his face.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time
face is terrible.
Whenever Kenny Omega makes a face with his mouth open, he just kind of looks like he's going, but you don't look like you're still shopping at the Gap.
Yes.
So on the website, it's called RPE3DMER. So if verbally you could repeat her, on the website you could read her.
Good gravy. Oh my gosh, I almost want to look at this travesty myself. It's not like, I can't imagine that that's, copyrighted so that you can't spell it properly.
Oh no, I'm sure not, but, I don't know, I'm just looking for problems.
If I think I can name them off the top of my head, World Heavyweight Championship, International Championship, TNT Championship on the men's side.
Yeah.
So there's the Women's World Championship and the Women's TBS Championship. Then we got Tag Team Championships for the men. I'm trying to think if they have it for the ladies. I don't think they do. And then they have the Trios Championships, too.
Yeah.
And then they have Samoa Joe, who is the ROH TV champion, show up pretty regularly. Is actually fighting CM Punk, I believe, at All In. I believe that is going to be a singles match.
Interesting. They just had a singles match.
Yeah, but it kind of ended shorter than I would have expected. So I'm not surprised. Like, hey, we want to do like a real finish to this. Because, like, I mean, they talked about it being the third match, and CM Punk finally won, but it did kind of, leave you wanting a little bit, I would say. So I was not completely surprised they decided to go for a rehash of this, and maybe give those two a little more time to tell something more of a story.
Sure. Yeah. Trio
Oh, yeah, because they're not listing it actually as an all-in match. Now,
I was, for some reason, I thought they were going to be an all-in
match. Yeah, right now, the team matches are the Golden Elite, which is a six against the Bullet Club Gold. It's a six-man. And then there's the weird random tag team match with Eddie Kingston, Orange Cassidy, and the Best Friends, and the Lucha Brothers taking on the Blackpool Combat Club and three random people.
Yeah, any insight on
Oh my god. The fact that they're doing a TBA with that, I'm like, I hope that these people are on your roster presently. It just drives me, like, yeah, some other people need some help that are actually just employed by you. It's fun. Like, I do get the aspect of, because I mean, I just do feel like Jeremy and I rip on them a lot, but I like the facet that they do work with other companies and, you know, have their talent on there sometimes, but it's another one where, you know, you kind of feel like it gets overused at some point. Where it, you know, it kind of, the novelty of the whole situation wears off.
Is there any storyline?
I mean, they broke up. The kids were the ones that purposefully broke up with him. I don't know if they bring him back into the fold. I do kind of think that maybe with them and Bullet Club Gold that they're starting to get personalities finally. Like, because they were just one, they won the championships over FTR last December, you know, late last year sometime. And it just felt like they won it out of the blue. And it's just like, I don't know who these guys are. Like, I don't care if they've been on whatever their YouTube show was. Like, I wasn't watching it. Like, if it didn't happen on Dynamite, it doesn't count. You know, and now it's, if it didn't happen on Dynamite, Rampage, or Collision, it doesn't count. So they're doing something right over there. Oh, Satnam Singh.
Satnam Singh, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to draw two names out of the hat, and that's exactly what it's going to be.
He former NBA player, and it's one of those ones where I'm like, I don't know what you're expecting out of this situation. Other than a really big guy being in your ring. Like, that's okay. Sure, have at it, guys. He is monstrous.
So let's put it this way. If he can do significantly better than Giant Gonzalez and incrementally better than the Great Khali, then he might have gotten a lot more. Hunter's big and he's got a big face. And that jump slash is great.
yeah, I forget which market they'd be trying to break into with him. I feel like. Oh, I guess Singh makes sense that he'd be Indian. Duh.
By the way,
Yep. Yep, it's getting pretty rough. That that scroll bar is getting used pretty heavily these days. Okay. Yep. That was an obvious one. For some reason, it completely skipped my mind, though.
Yeah,
oh yeah, that is quite the possibility. He loves to bleed. That man loves to bleed. Yeah, that's one that's still. Because what? Is there a really bad chair shot this week? I'm just like, oh my god, like. Why did that happen? I think it might have been on Jericho.
Oh, man.
I'm just like, why do you guys continue to want to do this? And it was just funny. It made it even funnier that the day before, Taz scolded someone that just said, bring back headshots or something like that. Uh-huh. And Taz is like, hey, fucker, as someone who took too many of those and now has, like, serious problems because of it, fuck off. Like, no one should ever be taking one of those. Like, it's a terrible idea.
So, funny thing. So, I
Googled
AEW Jericho chair shot just to see what would come up. Here, a video, Jericho talks about unprotected chair shot. 2020, Jericho called Matt Hardy chair shot a happy accident. 2021, AEW brought back chair shots to the head at one point. This is literally a conversation every year with this company. And why is this a there's a result from almost every year of the goddamn Mayan calendar. They talked about chair shots at AEW.
Oh my gosh, and this year's entry just is so fresh that it's not in there yet.
Yeah.
Either that or I might be wrong about who took that shot on this week's AEW show, but that's just like, oh my god. I'm pretty sure it was him, though. Oh, Action Andretti?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Like a giant lift that was supposed to happen, and the dude landed basically half a wingspan away from Jericho, and the guy who was on that kind of slapped Jericho on the chest as they're both laying there, and then covered up his hip or something like that.
Oh.
What the hell?
Jericho has been diminishing returns for quite a while at this point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've joked for a while now, like any combination of us, that anyone who has feuded with him has done worse afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, he has not given them the proverbial, you know, Chris Jericho bump, like, because even people that are talented, like Ricky Starks, the man got sidelined for like the next 3 months after he feuded with Jericho. It's like, Jiminy Christmas. And yeah, Action Andretti, like, I mean, he won like 4 months ago, and now he's, you know, looking up at the lights 9 times out of 10 when I see him on TV. Probably even higher than 9 times out of 10, honestly.
I mean,
All. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once it was confirmed that he was a Trumper, it's just like, okay, dude. Yeah. Like, well, actually, it was shortly before that, just because some of those wacky conspiracy things had come up, and I'm just like, I'm not listening to this fucking nonsense. Like, just leave me alone. Like,
just when we hear the other side, like, I got something. You just gotta hear it flat with your head and say, but, like, honestly, the episode titled BBW is T invades TIJ. I don't give a shit. I have no, I'm sorry, no offense to Marshall. I don't care enough to listen to your episode. Jim Cornette, of course, because he's brilliant. Takashita taking shit.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, it's so obvious.
Takeshita.
Right now, it's Takeshita, right?
Yep.
Takeshita. I was even practicing. Takeshita.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that was one where I guess I've heard all the horror stories about the bad takes from Cornette, and I actually listened to one of his arguments, and I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, I'm kind of with him on this one. I forget what it was about, but it was maybe a week ago. It was one of those, someone chopped it up into, like, a 15-minute segment. And I'm like, I think I can handle 15 minutes. And plus, well, even podcast listening time has been in a premium. And I'm like, nah, like, if I don't feel like listening to it, like, it's just, it is hitting the chopping block.
It took me 1 4-hour episode. I will not
devote
that much time to listening to anything.
No. But, right. that was one where yeah, it's right there because it's take shit is how it is spelled, I guess, if you want to kind of go phonetically. To go ahead and wind this thing up here?
Sure.
I mean, is it? A good time, and not on 100 episodes, so I managed to actually make this more frequently than every year, because I believe if Skype was not mistaken, it was November of last year, so I am well ahead of schedule for booking you occasionally on this podcast.
And I wasn't going to be Mr. Milestone, but now I can just be Mr. Palindrome. So, 878, you're going to have me back on 989.
Yeah, it's a little too close to 1,000. Yeah.
The palindromatic
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no. Good chat. And,
yeah.
Officially the senior member of the duo, I can sign off first seat and really wrap it up.
Okay.
I'm gonna finish my big grill deal. I'm gonna call it a night. After 10 p.m. Central Time where I am, my kids are gonna start climbing into our bed in about 7 hours. So, good night.
Well, the bell time beer on this end, since Eric already pushed his, this is Mirror Twin Brewing out of Lexington, Kentucky. I stopped there on my travels down the vacation. This was one that the wife tried when we were actually at the brewery. Tropic Magic, sour beer with strawberry and bananas, 6% ABV. It is a, I love the sours over the summer. It's a nice kind of not as heavy beer. Has a nice, I mean, there's strawberries and bananas in it. Who doesn't like strawberries and bananas? I love them. So, yeah, a little sweet, a little sour. It goes a long way. So if you happen to be down in Lexington or somewhere in Kentucky, I highly suggest seeking out some Mirror Twin Brewing. They have quite a few amount of beers that are good. I am at DeFrango11. His choices are from, I forgot his Twitter address. And the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.